So I'm going to pray over us, okay, and we'll finish strong. Thank you for being here. Father, we are a grateful people. First of all, the cross.
Yes.
Father, undeserving, Father, are we. But God, you justified us, Father, through the cross. We come to the blood of Jesus. Father, you wash our minds, that we would open our hearts and hear from you and be equipped by you. God, thank you. Thank you for your suffering. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, that you were obedient to the Father. I thank you for every life gathered here, for every representation of God's kingdom by the body of Christ. May we be strengthened in you and equipped in you, Father, to be better utilized as tools in the tool belt of the kingdom as we move from this place. Thank you. We look forward to tonight, the revelation and the celebration that will come, and in the days ahead, to see the kingdom expand for the glory of God on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. So, most of you probably know me, so it'll go without introduction. I'll give a little bit of background here in a moment. And one thing you need to know about me is that I am a shotgun speaker. That doesn't mean I'm going to shoot, but it does mean that I tend to be a little bit scatterplot. So you might just want to grab concepts as they come out. I'll try to follow the PowerPoint, as it were, and try to stick with that. Investing in legacy. So background. So I am the senior leader here. I've been a part of the eldership team for a few years. I've been part of the church for about 17 or 18 years. Before that, in another situation, I helped to lead a work with Tommy and Rita Hutchins. So you'll know them probably. They're in the Philippines full-time now. They're here at the conference. So Tommy is one of God's generals and a real father in the Lord to me. It's an honor to have him here with us. Professionally, I'm bivocational. So I operate a financial advisory practice, which means that I'm everything from a stockbroker, which I don't really like the term, but most people identify with that. I do a lot of financial planning, retirement planning, wealth management, and in a consultative capacity that way. If it has to do with dollars, that's pretty much all I've done. That and banking was my background. I was also a banker for a number of years. I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to present a resume. I want to give you context so that when you hear me speak and use terms, understand that all I know is what I do. And what I do for 27, almost 28 years, is been in banking and finance. So that's all I know professionally. That's all I studied in college. And so when Andrea speaks about bring your whole self, it's really, I mean, praise God, she did a great job, a fabulous job of teeing that up. So I'm going to try to bring this home for us. But I want us to understand that investing and legacy are terms that should be interchangeable in our lives. I'm going to use in context, and we're going to look at, I've been trained by Doug Craigbaum, so we're going to start in Genesis. And I'm actually not going to leave Genesis. So it all begins there. I mean, just open it up. It says in the beginning. So where do you begin? In the beginning. And you end in the end. So that's my Bible training. So there you go. So we're going to look at Abraham a little bit. There's so much here. Okay, everyone, there's so much. I'm going to try to contain it. And so I'm going to say this because I know the audience is a little bit broad. And so some of you may be vocationally, you say, well, I'm a pastor. I'm a business person. I don't care what you do, all of this can apply to you. And if not, then grab something and go help equip someone else. Because we are in Ephesians 4 ministry. We're all called, right, to be equippers and to be equipped. And although you may operate in the office of a whatever, all of us operate in the kingdom of God. And it's a kingdom principle that we should be equipping. So we should be equipping the saints for the work of ministry. That's what we're trying to do here. I said this to Pablo. I borrow a lot of phrases from other people. Some stuff's original, but steal all of it because I stole most of it, right? So one of the things that is important is that revelation without application is needless information. Wow. All right, you're going to hear that from me. It's one of my life messages. So that's why equipping is so darn important, okay? This is as important as the prophetic word that comes and the revelation that comes as my prophet friend walks in the door. Application is as important as revelation, because if all you do is grab a revelation and walk out and go, wow, man, my feelings were touched, and but you don't apply it, then what good is it? Right? Amen. Noah had tremendous revelation, but if Noah had not applied that revelation, a lot of people would be sad because all of mankind would have drowned with the rest. That, right? So he preserved what God said to preserve, and he brought him on the ark. He had tremendous revelation. His application was to build the ark. Some of you have revelation that you're gaining from this conference right now. And what God is doing through these equipping sessions is to say, you're getting revelation. Now, I need you to have meaningful application. Because when you leave this place, I assure you that like the vapor of the wind, like the dew of the morning, it will evaporate, and you're not going to remember some of this stuff. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're taking notes. This is all free, by the way. This is just the introduction. They said I had no four, so we'll be. Yeah. I'll try to be kind with that. So let's talk about investing in legacy. First, I want to give you a little bit of some definition. I want to say this. In today's culture, the terms investment and legacy are used quite a lot. They're used in my area of financial planning. This teaching, we're going to take a brief look, and I mean brief, look at Abraham's legacy. We're going to start with Abraham, we're going to go to Isaac, look at Jacob, and we're going to take a dive at Joseph. That's all we're going to get in, and we're going to take a high-level look at this. But we're going to try to understand, the key takeaway is to understand that why a life investment is required to create legacy. Okay? So we're going to gain, hopefully, some understanding from the life of Abraham to understand what godly legacy is and why it is important to our life, including our work. It's important to everything that you do, okay? Whether you are a person who is conveying legacy or leaving an inheritance, or whether you're someone who is receiving, okay? I think it's important to know whether you're leaving or receiving, this message is for you. Okay, and if you're really operating in the context of the kingdom, you should be. You either are, and listen, if you're here today, you are a recipient. We're a recipient of Abraham's legacy right now, because in the line of Abraham was Jesus is the right. It's always the right answer. Just say Jesus. Come on, say Jesus.
Jesus.
All right, good. I know you guys are with me. It's always the right answer, right, Gary? Jesus is the answer. In Abraham's natural legacy were the people chosen to birth the man who is God, right? So we know that legacy, so we're recipients. So I want you to know that whether you leave or you receive, this is an important message. It's going to be mostly about leaving, but it's also about receiving. Let's look at a couple of definitions before we get to the next slide. And the slides are just highlights. Maybe they're lowlights. I don't know. But let's look at a definition. And again, I told you guys on the front side, for those of you who just came in, I'm a little bit shotgun, so I may get ahead of myself. So this is just a little bit of a guide, and hopefully you have the notes available to you. So what does it mean to have an investment? Well, I'm just going to read a definition straight out of the dictionary here. An investment is a thing that is worth buying because it may be profitable or useful in the future. All right? A thing that's worth buying. So the number one thing that I want to help us to identify when you invest is there's a cost. Right out of the gate, an investment requires a cost. It also requires a sacrifice, doesn't it? I'm going to do without this in order to do this. Every decision you make is an investment. It's either a good one or a bad one. Some investments are better than others. It's an act of devoting your time, your effort, or your energy to a particular undertaking with the expectation of a worthwhile result. Right? So when you make an investment, there's a bit of hope. You have the hope or the desire that the effort and the energy that you're investing, you expect a worthwhile result. Nobody calls me at my office and says, I'd like to make a bad investment. Do you have any of those? Right? They talk to me about investments. They say, is this a good investment? And I love that question. No, I'm only selling bad investments. Because here's the other thing you need to know about investing. Investing can involve speculation and bears risk. Oh boy. Cost, risk, Why am I here? Why are you talking to me about this? And I'm going to move in and out, all right, of context. I'm going to talk about my professional practice where I earn my financial living, what pays the rent, right? And then, you know, so because I'm bringing my whole self, like Andrea said, to work. So it's not just, right? So, you know, what I do to earn a living, when I say bivocational, I even hate the term. Can we get using that term? I need to come up with it. Somebody needs to help me with a new term so I can market it. Kind of like nest rest. That one was original, so. All right, so these are just some of the characteristics with investment. All right, so what about legacy? What do we know about legacy? All right, I'm trying to give us some keywords and key in on them as you listen to me babble up here. Hopefully you pick something up that's profitable. Oh, there's an investment term for you. A legacy can be this: an amount of money or property left to someone in a will. Synonyms for legacy include bequest, inheritance, heritage, endowment, gift, a settlement, birthright. Oh, we may cross that bridge today. A thing handed down by a predecessor. Legacies also have consequence. I thought this was a positive teaching. Why am I telling you all this? Effect can be an upshot. There may be a repercussion or an aftermath. All right, so what are some of those keys? Right? So there's a gift involved, right? Has anyone here ever been in the natural reading of a will after a deceased? Do you get the concept of reading a will? They all gather around and the attorney gathers and then they read the will. I leave the following to Doug Davenport. Nothing. I leave the... that wasn't a prophetic word, so don't worry. It's all good. We talk a lot about legacy. We say, I'm all about legacy. We're here to leave a legacy. My question is, what kind of a legacy do you plan to leave? Because if you make an investment, it sometimes involves risk, and it comes with a cost. And there's a required sacrifice. And here's the interesting thing. I call this like a boomerang concept, you know, or what goes around comes around. What you could say is both sides of the coin. Here's why I'm using those phrases. Because an investment involves sacrifice. But guess what? An inheritance, or being, whether you leave or you receive, some of these terms apply on both sides of that coin, don't they? Because if you inherit something, I mean, you're going to look at some birthright issues here, okay? This issue of entitlement, we Americans have a really, really big issue with entitlement. Social programs were not designed to be entitlement. They were designed to be a hand up, not a hand out. And this is not a political stage, and I don't mean that. I'm talking to people of faith. I'm talking to the people of God here, right? I mean, we're going to get to Jacob and Esau in a moment. Well, guess what? Who was the first?
Abraham.
Esau. But what was his issue? This is mine. He had no respect for it. Now, Jacob, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Jacob had issues, right? He basically swiped it with the help of his mother. Yep. And he had consequences for that. But just because you're entitled, because you're the first, that doesn't... Right? So we got to be careful of having an entitlement. All right, so legacy and investment. I'm going to tell you about my story, and I'll try to do this. I was going to do this on the back side, but I want to do it on the front side. And I'll try to bring this, because this will bring it into context. You can understand the passion I have about legacy, okay? Because many of you, if you lead churches, you're involved in any churches, or you're involved in a church, right? You've got a leader. This is sometimes very near and dear to our hearts. So when we build something, and we build something, sometimes it's hard to let go, right? And an investment requires a cost, which means expense, which means you're basically, it's a sacrifice. You're giving something away. You hope it works. There's risk, but you have to understand that it's a gift. So just a quick, I built a financial practice with another firm a few years ago that was doing pretty well. Andrea worked for me. It was doing pretty well. In fact, I'd become partner. I didn't execute the deal because I ended up leaving, and you'll find out why in a moment. But I became a limited partner in this particular firm. I was taking two very nice, luxurious vacations a year. paid for by the company. Very nice bonuses. And we were doing pretty good. We were just cooking right along with gas. So Andrea was working for me, and then another lady went to work for me. We were doing pretty well. And then there was this thing called an ordination, and I was set in as the senior leader of this house. And when that happened, there was something that occurred in my senses that changed my view on where I was professionally. And I've described it to some of the guys like this, and maybe they'll remember, maybe they won't. At least one of them is in the room. But it was, there was a change in my taste, or the taste in my mouth changed. I had a different response to where I was. I didn't feel the same about the success that I had achieved. And something changed in me. And God began to speak to me about what kind of an investment that I was making. I'm like, well, I'm trying to answer the Lord. I'm making all these investments. I mean, what about legacy? Well, you know, I believe in legacy. So I'm going to ask you to do something at a time when it's going to be very uncomfortable and inconvenient for you to do it. Now, we've argued back and forth, some of us that are close to the issue, and Andrew is very close to it, about, you know, and my wife obviously closer to it than anybody, you know, whether the timing was right or not. But I made a decision to leave the firm that I was associated with, because I saw a vision, and it was actually confirmed. I don't even know if the guys from Raleigh, I don't know if Rick Fisher and Paul Kidd even know this to the degree. I probably need to communicate to them. But they gave a prophetic word about a 5-year, that God was speaking 5 years to me. And what it was that you needed to leave the firm you're with, and you needed to move into a private practice and own your own franchise. And the reason is, we're going to ask you to make a cost. It's going to cost sacrifice. There's going to be hope, there's risk, because there's a gift involved. And so I have a son who I think, and you see Benjamin running around here, who I think is interested in the business. And the reason that I did this, the reason I made the change, really the sole reason was legacy. That this was not being built for me, this was not for my comfort, and not for my adequacy or for my surroundings. That this business was to be used for the kingdom in such a way that I needed to leave a legacy. And that legacy was an inheritance that my son will have to earn, and there will be a cost and all that. But I had to understand that if I invested, there was going to be that cost and sacrifice, but the inheritance would be great. And it wouldn't be great for me, it'd be great for the people that I leave it to, but it was important for my season of life to have the freedom and do on, and so on and so forth to be available here in the church work. Now, that's my personal mandate from the Lord. So I did that. I resigned from the firm that I was with, and I left. At which point, I was quickly drug into the court of law because we had a selling agreement. And I was in a legal battle that lasted months and months and months and months and cost thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. In the end, me personally, several thousands of dollars. A lot of thousands of dollars. And I didn't do anything wrong, but, you know, settlements are one of those things that, you know, I want you to go away now, so here's the check, and if you'll go away, I can get on with my business. So we'll forget all this and sever the agreement. I'm telling you all this to tell you that when I talk to you about sacrifice, I talk to you about risk, I talk to you about cost, it's very personal to me. It's very personal to me. And I'd be glad to talk to any of you afterwards or offline or later if you want email address or whatever and talk to you about this. It's very personal to me, so it's a passion. It's a passion. All right, so let's look at the life of Abraham. Now, this actually goes back to Genesis 15 and Genesis 22. Genesis 15 is the place where Abraham meets God and he lays out this vision of this great inheritance. He said, your descendants are going to be far greater than all these stars in the sky. You guys know the passage of Scripture, right? We see that in the Scripture. There's going to be this tremendous... So this is really good, right? He's laying this out there, and it's like, this is going to be tremendous. This inheritance is going to be great. Everybody wants to receive an inheritance. But we have to count... We have to understand that there was a cost associated with that inheritance. And for Abraham, that cost was going to be pretty high, right? In Genesis 22, that cost became very real. There was a covenant that God was making with Abraham. And I'm skipping around a little bit here, but let's understand that you have something that's very near and dear to you, something that God has given you, And you say, you know what, God, this is my covenant with you. This is my inheritance. And then God says to you, now that you understand how valuable this is, now that you understand that this is everything that I wanted to do to bless you, I gave you this wonderful, amazing child in your later years. Now I want you to give it up. I want you to give it back to me. Now, I'm a little bit troubled by that whole sacrifice scene. That's it. In my human mind, I have a hard time reckoning with that, right? I understand the big picture, but praise God, I don't know what I would have done if I were there. But there was a covenant with God that, so he establishes, you have to understand it, in your workplace, the things that are valuable to you, and this is a life message, this isn't just your workplace, but for me, creating a legacy in the workplace is everything. And whether it's, I don't know what your workplace is, but your life's work is really the message here. This is not just going to your factory job, going to your office job, going to the office at the church, wherever it is that you work. Everywhere we go, we should be talking about an investment in legacy to create an inheritance. Everything that we do. It's a kingdom ethic, ladies and gentlemen. It's a kingdom ethic that we do this. And there's a mandate from God to do it. So he had a covenant with God. I want to point out Ishmael, then Isaac. Because for some of us, we have promises of God. And, you know, we can see through the glass dimly, dark. It's difficult to see it. And, you know, help me out with Scott. I'm glad you're here. Because, you know, when you see time and space, you see in how many dimensions, right? Help me with Wendell that always used to speak in.
Tony.
It was Tony. Thank you. Tony Fike is in Bible College. So Scott Squires, if you can't hear it on the recording, so go ahead and.
Tony used an expression in Bible College one time explaining the prophetic, that prophetic people see a target. When you're prophesying, you see a target, and you try to get as close to the bullseye as you can. But while we see it in two dimensions, that target actually exists in three dimensions. And the third dimension is time. And you don't often see the time piece
right. All
the time when you're prophesying. Yes. So unless God shows you that exact time, you shouldn't try to lock down time frames was the point he was trying to teach us. And Jay's used that example multiple times.
Okay, so for the recording, hopefully you got that. Scott was talking about that prophetic, and you oftentimes can't see the space and time. You don't see the time element.
Right.
It's difficult to know if it's right in front of you or if it's, you know, in the next generation. And I could use other examples from the scripture, but how about all of the great hall of faith? How about all of these great saints, right, that died without receiving the promise, the scripture tells us? But they died in faith for it. I want to use a concept that I use in my financial practice to help you understand that, you know, because hope deferred can make the heart sick. TVM, does anybody know what that stands for? Andrea, you cannot answer this.
First one's time.
Time?
Value of money.
Yes. Thank you.
Right,
time, value of money. This is one of the most difficult principles that I have to teach in my client base. The time, value of money. They want to make an investment, and they want an immediate return. And by the way, when they look at their statement, they don't ever want it to go down. They only want it to go up, but they don't want any risk. Can I help you understand the kingdom ethic here? Is that the investment, number one, the investment is everything. Abraham's investment was Isaac. That was everything.
Wow.
Now, he had the wrong attitude when he got started, right? He had the wrong attitude when he got started. It was actually he and his wife. It actually began with Sarah. Sarah's like, well, you know, we can't bear, so here, I've got this, you know, handmaiden over here, right? You remember the story? Right? So he goes in and they ended up birthing, you know, Ishmael with the handmaiden, with Hagar. We understand the legacy of that birth and what that meant to the earth. So I bring this up because an investment requires time. Now, there may be a more immediate reward, but I have to tell you that your life's work, you may never see the return on your investment on this side of heaven. My question is it worth it? Well, I'm going to take a piece of script right out of Mats Nordin's message last night, which was, do you love? God? How much do you love your legacy? How much do you suppose Abraham loved Isaac? Right? This was my covenant. God gave me this child. But I love God so much that I'm willing to sacrifice this child, God, if you require me to do that. Now, fortunately for Abraham, right, the angel of the Lord called out and he said, over here, tussle in the bush was the ram. And you guys know the story. And he was able to make the animal sacrifice, you know, and keep his child. The question is, are you willing to turn loose of that thing? Are you willing to give everything in your workplace, in your life's work? Are you willing to pay the price, bear the risk, all in hope that the sacrifice will be worth it? Time value of money. Okay, there is no variable that my clients in the financial realm can control except the time. They cannot control the market. They cannot control, much of that. What they can control is time. Patience. Love is?
Patience.
Pablo was schooling me a little bit ago. I wanted to start class a little early, you know. He's like, well, you know, not 2:45 yet. Whatever time it was. Love is patient. Love, if you love God, love is patient. You've got to be patient. Guys, I'm trying to give you keywords to help us understand that if you're going to have a legacy, you've got to be willing to invest in one. It's going to cost you everything. You're going to have to be patient. There's risk, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that risk in a minute as we start to talk about Jacob and Esau. All right, let's move on. Jacob. So we know the story with Jacob. Jacob and his mother plot to take the inheritance as Isaac is nearing the end of his life. And the lesson begins. Mm-hmm. So you see, the inheritance came with a cost. And I'm not sure that Jacob understood what he had asked for. I'm not sure he understood the consequences of how he acquired it. But here's the thing. I have this inheritance, and I think I really wanted it. I used to, you know, when you first become, you know, a Christian, you're like, man, you see the guy on the platform, and you're like, man, I want to do that. Oh, be careful what you ask for, right? New levels, new devils. As a familiar prophet has spoken over the years. It's a right word. That investment cost you everything. And so Jacob, of course you know the story, he illegitimately receives the inheritance from his father who's blind near the end of his life, and he takes it. And so his mother ushers him out and says, you got to get out of here, man, because Esau's coming and he finds out you got this thing, you're going to be in trouble. And so along his journey, he has this dream, right? Jacob's ladder. We all know the story, the angels ascending and descending. The message here for us is in this investment of legacy is we have to understand that the inheritance has to have a move of God. There has to be a connection. In the grand scheme of things, you have to understand that there's a God in the universe. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as there is in heaven. And this is a wonderful picture of his kingdom coming. And if I could say this, is you have to have a God mandate when you're talking about a life investment. You're talking about inheritance. You have to understand that if God's not involved in this, see, this thing about firstborn, this thing about natural lineage, there's a standard, there's some significance to that. I'm not trying to take that away from anybody. Depending on the culture you're in, it's more important in some cultures than others. The African culture, it's much more important than it is probably in our Western culture, right? The lines of kings and so on and so forth always came to the firstborn. But this is not about entitlement. This is not about, well, Jacob took this thing. But then he had to, so the first thing that we have to understand is, in Jacob's life, is he had to understand that God was about to meet him. So the lesson begins. And then later, we recognize in the later dream that he has, as he's preparing to meet his brother Esau, is he has this wrestle. Now, Some theologians would say that there was an actual man he wrestled with. Some believe he wrestled with an angel. I'm going to leave that peradventure. I'm going to leave that out there for your discussion. It's not a theological debate as to how it happened. What we know is that he forever walked with a limp because he wrestled with some being, and he was forever marked. So legacy, investing in a legacy, will create a struggle in you. And you'll be marked if it's a real godly legacy. See, God met me on that altar, and God said that this very thing that you prized, I mean, I built that, look, I built millions of dollars under management from scratch. I'm saying to God, I'm rewinding my prayer closet. You don't understand, God, because He doesn't understand it. Right. And then you want me to do what? You want me to leave where I am, and then you want me to give it to my what? So I was in a struggle, and I personally know and understand what that limp is like, because I walk with that limp today. I told you what the cost was involved in my departure from that other firm. But I followed the mandate, and God said, no, this was not yours to keep. This was mine to build with you as the tool. And this investment in legacy is not just about your son's well-being, your family's well-being, or the church finances' well-being. It's about my kingdom coming and my will being done in the earth. So when I say it cost me everything, when I say it cost me thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, I wish I could tell you how much, but I'd be violating the agreement that I have with the prior firm. I'm just trying to be real here, guys. I'm trying to be real transparent. Please don't pick up on this. Oh, Jay said he built a business. This is not an issue of pride. It's an issue of relevance. And I want you to understand that what I had to give up. And so this is very real to me. So the risk to give the gift, the sacrifice, the cost, the struggle, the limp, I wasn't very patient. But I'm telling you, if you're going to have a godly legacy, you've got to understand that God wants to be involved. That even if, you know, this is not about the issue of how Jacob got it so much as it was Jacob's experience afterwards. Because once he was given it, he was given it. Once it was granted to him by his father, whether ill-gotten gain or not, he gained it. And once he had it, it was his. It was rightfully his. And God was honoring that, although he was going to, right? So he had to face his past. He wrestles and he learns the struggle and suffering. But from that, he gained a new identity. And my identity has changed as a result of my struggle. And I tell you that if you'll be like Jacob, not the ill-gotten gain part, but if you'll respond like Jacob and you'll let God deal with your heart about your legacy, whether it's the church and the responsibility for it, or it's your finances, your family, or whatever, if you don't have a legacy. And if you're in the struggle with God, then pray to God that Jacob's ladder would be your night dream, and that you would meet God, and the ascension of heavenly hosts would come into your night court, which is what I call mine, in the middle of the night when God meets me at 3 o'clock in the morning and puts my face on the carpet and says, Jay, this is your legacy, and this is the required investment. Where is the house you will build for me? Whom of you will hear the cry of my heart? Amen? You guys okay so far?
Yeah.
We're going to end up with Joseph. And some other phrases and things that I'll probably give to you that I think are a bit prophetic. It came to me when I was preparing this, and actually one that came to me a little bit ago. Joseph has been referred to, if you've been in this track, all four of these, you've heard some of the other speakers allude to Joseph. Joseph is probably the best example for me personally, because Joseph really became the consummate businessman. So Jacob's legacy then continues through Joseph. So you've got Abraham, you've got Isaac, right, into Jacob, and now we're at Joseph. Again, not the firstborn. Not entitled, he was not the firstborn, but he was favored among his parents, and it created a betrayal. Can I tell you? Let me tell you about betrayal. I can't go into detail, but I will tell you this. Professionally, I worked for a firm that I called my corporate church. The firm that I was with, I called my corporate church. There were a ton of believers in the firm that I worked for. I'm not going to mention it, the firm, but you guys know, though, you know me, you know where I was. And there was a tremendous heart of compassion and love towards people, and I felt at home there. I felt like, this is my corporation church. These are wonderful people. When I announced my resignation and I announced why I had resigned, my name was more than blighted. I was seriously slandered to the degree that we even had a person who's no longer in this church approach me, because they also worked for the same company in another setting, and said that I have issue with why you left the other firm. And I said, why? We were told that you did something wrong. People in the company were told that you did something wrong. And this person looked me in the eye and said to me, I don't know if I can trust you anymore. And this is a person that I vacationed with and I'd lived life with, and I'd help raise their children and they'd help raise mine. You have to understand that the sacrifice and the cost comes with a heavy price tag. And many times the price tag of investing in legacy is betrayal. Isaac was betrayed. Go back to the story. It was supposed to be Esau's. Yeah, he was a snot. Yeah, he was an entitled kid. Yeah, he was spoiled. Whatever he was, he was entitled. In the standard of the kings, in the kingdom in those days, that's the way. But Isaac was betrayed. There's not a lot said about that. There's not a lot said about his dying, you know, on the other side of heaven, or, you know, to Abraham's bosom, so to speak. And then, you know, however that all works in the end game, you know, I don't know on the other side of this life what he thought about that, but he was betrayed. I have personal experience with betrayal. If you've ever had people leave your church and say things about you and post things about you on social media, hallelujah. Ain't Facebook great? You understand this concept of betrayal. Rick Fisher's calling me. Rick Fisher, if you're listening to this tape, I'm actually teaching a class, and you should be in your class right now learning something. You have no business calling me during this class. Go be equipped. We'll talk later. All right. Betrayal. Oftentimes an investment requires a betrayal. False accusations. Prisoner destiny. Joseph's life. You know the story. Right? Thrown in the pit. He was betrayed by his own brothers. Now, did he maybe deserve a little bit of that? I don't know. He probably deserved to be, you know, at least rapped on the skull for being the spoiled brat little kid that he was. But he was away for a number of years in prison. And while he's in prison, right, he has these dreams. And he was even betrayed a second time. I think oftentimes we forget that part of the story, that Joseph was betrayed a second time. Right? You remember? The guy who goes on to be the cupbearer to the king? Yeah, I'll mention you. I'll mention you. As soon as I get out of prayer, I'll mention it to Pharaoh. I'll be sure that he knows. Well, he forgot. You say, well, was it intentional or not? Well, I'm sure he had to feel betrayed. Now, if I'm adding to the theology of this, forgive me. I'm just, peradventure, I like that term because it's fancy. It's a 50-cent word, and I like 50-cent words. But perhaps he felt that betrayal again. So there's a cost involved with it. Again, the legacy, the covenant with God. But lo and behold, his day came. His day came, and Joseph, although jealousy was involved, Joseph was a steward of God's legacy, God's covenant. He was a steward with it. He blessed those who cursed him. He blessed those who cursed him. Even though he tested his brothers. You remember the story where they came and he put him to a pretty hard test. But the one that he ended up doing, he ended up blessing them. Isn't it interesting that the very men that betrayed him, unbeknownst to them, were sent out by their father to go find rations, to go find food because there was famine in the land. And lo and behold, he had to meet the very person. Now, I've had this occasion in another context, and I won't tell the story because there's no time for it and it doesn't really apply here. But I've had people who've made accusations about me. But I remember to my covenant when I walked with them. And I wanted to honor them. And There's another term here that just came to me. Is this okay, guys? Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. I hope I'm not losing anybody. You guys won't know this.
Huh. What if we try?
Go ahead. It's investment policy statement. If I'm a fund manager, like a mutual fund manager, I have a thing called an investment policy statement. And that statement is basically the statement of the intention of the fund. And there are certain things I can invest in, certain things I can't invest in, because I have a certain outcome. The fund is designed to behave a certain way in certain markets, invest in certain instruments to produce that behavior. It's either growth or fixed, or it's domestic, or it's international, or it's a commodity, it's an alternative, it's whatever, okay? It has an investment policy statement, and when I'm managing that investment, my responsibility is to stick close to that IPS. If it says that I'm supposed to be 100% domestic stocks, I can't go out and buy gold. I can only buy stocks like Apple and IBM and Ford and whatever. I can't provide for my client an investment in something for me and for you. Okay, there's a broad covenant that God has with all of us, but there's also certain mandates that God has given you. And you have to meet God like Jacob met God, and like he wrestled with God, and like he finally figured out, you have to respond to the mandate that God gives you. And so I feel like in my covenantal relationship with God, there are certain things that he required of me to make an investment, and that investment required everything. And to honor that covenant, I had to honor this IPS, or this investment policy statement. So your life's work and your design is, when you leave here, you need to have a definition. God, what's the nature of covenant that I have with you, and in my workplace or in my life's work or however, whatever the application is, in what way do I need to make an investment so that there's legacy? Or am I that legacy, and how am I to receive that investment? Again, it's about leaving or receiving. All of us in the room will either leave or receive at some point. And it should be a continuous thing till Jesus returns.
Yeah.
And then the ultimate gift, boom, it all comes, and then, you know, that's the game changer. Does that make sense? Investment policy statement. God's covenant proves true. Let me say this phrase. I believe God gave it to me. We're going to be done in about 5 to 10 minutes or less, and if you have questions, I'll answer them. We fight failure and embrace favor. Joseph embraced his failure and found favor.
That's good.
Okay, I'm going to say that again. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about legacy. We're talking about an investment that creates legacy. We're talking about what you're going to encounter. We're talking about you need to stick to your investment policy statement. Be a covenant man. Be a covenant woman. You have to understand there's a gift and there's risk, but there's hope. It'll require sacrifice and cost. But Abraham was obedient to God, and the very first thing you have to understand is going to cost you everything, right? The next thing you have to understand is that there are risks associated with it. Look, God understood this. God understood that he put himself in man. And God had to understand that, and God did understand. God understands everything. But we have to understand that he was willing to give everything. His only begotten son. God gave everything. He put himself in a man. In flesh form. And our response is to respond to that covenant the same way. And so Joseph's issue, the reason Joseph was successful and the reason he had the favor that he had and the legacy that he had that then produced, he honored that covenant that he had with God. So let me say it again. We fight failure and we embrace favor. We fight failure and we embrace favor. But Joseph embraced his failure and found favor. I have been dismissed from 2 jobs professionally. Now I'm getting real. One was over a familial issue with a board member that was having an affair, and the affair was on my sister. And I spoke up and was dismissed. I think it's defensible.
Yeah.
Ask me about the story later. It's humorous now. It wasn't humorous in the moment. And the other was just a downsizing. A right-sizing, they called it. But I understood in my failure that I shouldn't have handled it the way that I did. I understood that I made a tremendous mistake. Many of the, in the line of the story here, as you understand, there were a lot of mistakes that were made. There were a lot of mistakes that were made. And you've made a lot of mistakes. But guess what? God's still in the redemption business.
Yeah.
Had I not made that mistake, though, and here's the thing, it's why I understand Joseph or the prison that I was in, or maybe the prison, and you may either go through this or you may see people. And part of this is, as leaders, if you're a leader of a house here, you may see a young man or a young woman or an older man or an older woman going through this. Help them to understand it's not the end all. Even Joseph, I mean, you can recall then from Joseph's life. Listen, God's made an investment in you. You're a covenant man. You're a covenant woman. And even though you're in prison right now, be faithful to your call. Embrace your failure so you'll find favor. And I got let go from that job, and then lo and behold, I got recruited by the firm that I ended up leaving, I resigned from. But had I not done that, I wouldn't have gotten into this business. Had I not got into this business, I would have not had the opportunity to have the freedom, so on and so forth, to do what I do. I mean, it just, God ended up rewarding me from that later.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, it was awful. It was an awful experience. It was gut-wrenching. It was painful. The brothers that were here that walked me through that, particularly Scott Parrish and his wife Debbie, they absolutely cared for Crystal and I in an unbelievable fashion, and all of the team that were, you know, and it was like, it was awful. But yet, but I embraced that failure, and it wasn't easy. I struggled. But I understood that there was a covenant that I had with God. And so later then, when it came time for God to say, that thing that I've given you, I need you to take all of it to the altar. I struggled a little bit, but I tell you, the struggle wasn't so great because I'd had that experience with God before, and I knew that God was faithful. Investment requires sacrifice. Sacrifice will produce a struggle, but suffering is a key element, even when there's false accusations, even when you've been wronged. I encourage you to do this. You can go to the Covenant Harvest website, okay, and you'll find podcasts of our messages. And two of the best messages that you'll hear in recent memory are preached by the man in the back of the room named Scott Squires, and it was a message about sacrifice and a message about suffering. And they were preached, I don't remember which one came before the other, but you'll see them on their podcast, and you'll see them in the last few weeks. They've been preached in the last month or so. And they're hallmarks, I think, for kingdom living. So I wish, you know, you could have heard those before you came, and you'll have a better context. So again, kingdom investment, kingdom legacy, in your workplace, in your life's work, God's covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, is at stake. God's covenant is at stake. And we must follow the investment policy statement. We must follow the scripture. We must be obedient to his holy word. And I tell you that the return, even though you may die before you see the promise, on this side of heaven, you may never see. I don't know how it's all going to work out in my personal situation. I just know I'm walking in obedience to God. Amen. With counsel from brothers and sisters in Christ,
right?
In light of heaven and in light of God's people. And we're walking through this thing in as much light as we can drag into the room. And I pray, God, that peradventure, if I don't, then I know on the other side of heaven I'll see it because I was obedient to the heavenly vision. All right? Are we okay? I'm going to leave you with some books. These books are not in the context of which I've taught this equipping session. These books, though, are capstones for everyone that works in the marketplace. I highly recommend these books. There are only one of these four I have not read. I would tell you that David Oliver, I count him as a friend. David is a part of Salt and Light Churches out of the UK. David Oliver is a recognized prophetic voice and a businessman, an entrepreneur, and a solid man of God. Yes, Matt, can you confer? Okay. David Oliver's written two books, Work, Prisoner, Place of Destiny, Love, Work, Live Life. I've read both those works. David actually came and he was in the States and he actually, we had a corporate teaching. He actually taught some major corporations here in Pittsburgh many years ago. I did a teaching on this. I find that oftentimes we get stuck in this, quote, ministry mindset. And this, if you're a leader and you're vocationally, you're being paid by the church, you're on staff at the church, I still recommend these books because for your own context to help people understand Andrea's message about bringing your whole self to work, these two books will free your people to understand that they are ambassadors of Christ, are ambassadors of the kingdom. Okay, Faith at Work by Oz Hillman. Little different take on things. It's a very good book, similar context. I had great reviews, although I've not read The 9-to-5 Window, but it's basically the urgency, and Oz is a, I think he's a Baptist guy. So you're going to get some real line upon line, precept upon precept. I don't think he's a Spirit-filled guy. I may be wrong if some of you know his work. David is, but anyway, I would recommend any or all of those four. Again, three of the four I've read, I'm very familiar with. I didn't have copies because I did the Unconscionable. I loaned books out to friends. Yeah. And those friends, they're book thieves, every one of them. So my investment in them was, here's a book. I don't ever expect to get it back. Well, I was right about that because I don't even have any idea where those books are. Anyway, I'm Jay Lauderer. Thank you for your time.
Yes, Jay.
I appreciate it so much. All right? Thank you. Thank you.